We can start.
We can vamp, but we can start. We can start.
We can
Wait,
start.
Did we get any cold open?
Damn it.
Okay. Something funny was said. We'll use Molly's mic testing. I don't know.
Whoa, Jesse farted. Oh, shit.
There we go.
Oh, gosh. I should have come up with something better than that.
Well, we gotta set the bar somewhere.
First pitch is always bad. That's okay.
That's all right. We're going to workshop it out.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned three specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
In this bangs crimpening episode of the Stab Show, Barley and Me Productions Ben Rice throws his hat into the ring of potential professional hat throwingers for a state championship hat throwing tournament. Hilarious stand-up Sam Hochalter wakes up from a dream that he's late to his SATs only to find he's eaten his entire pillow in his sleep. And Stab Show favorite Molly Doan has a lot of controversial thoughts on butter mints and cocktail onions that are going to light the Stab message boards on fire once we create Stab message boards. All the while, me, your host, Jesse Jones, hits the road to find that Tootsie Pop licking robot tongue for reasons. All of this and so much more tonight on Stab. Now, let's dive right into the program with segment one. It's reorganization, as it always is. We at Stab have an already well-documented love of bulletin boards. We also have a less publicly acknowledged love of libraries. But in a show like this one, with as much research as generally goes into writing responses, we obviously have a deep appreciation for knowledge repositories. And on top of it, we love a good goofy sound and word like boob, or B-U-L, or booble. Booble. Sorry, I'm dyslexic. Booble. So B-U-B-L, or the bulletin board for libraries, caught my attention while looking for reorganization prompts. So there it is. Enjoy. And now, just as quickly, stop enjoying. Forget what else B-U-B-L might already mean, and instead give me who or what else B-U-B-L might stand for or represent to you. Ben Rice and Associate.
Yes.
What do you have for a B-U-B-L?
Now, you said booble. Booble. All right, it doesn't matter. We'll get to it.
Okay.
We all know that feeling, that pit in your stomach after something unsavory happens or is eaten. You start to feel that churning in the same place you usually feel yearning. I'm talking about bubble guts. You're queasy and you have no place to go. You're trapped. And if you escape, everyone knows where you're escaping to. But when you finally get there and release, oh, it's all worth it. But maybe that's just me. As a busy boy about town, I often get overwhelmed by my past self's decisions on how I should spend my time, like opting to perform on a writing game show with no way to win, despite knowing I will surely book myself into oblivion throughout the days leading up to it and even on the day of the show. So how do I find the time to write these prompts? By using the previously unnamed bubble system.
Okay.
I slink away into the bathroom, and sure, maybe I'm pooping. But probably I'm just collecting my thoughts for one fucking minute. Jesus!
Yeah.
Ben's understaffed. Bother later.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't have to bring visual aids. But that really does drive the point home.
Yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah. Oh, so Becky's late then. Sure, sure, I get it.
You're nothing but a prop.
Sorry. Sorry.
We all knew my inevitable turn to proud comedy was coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Hey, Sam.
Yes, sir.
Hi. There you go.
Hello.
One would hope you have a BUBL as well, since you were asked to. What do you got?
We are all familiar with the Brazilian butt lift,
sure.
The BBL. It is a way for Instagram models and Canadian rappers to enhance their behind with the goal of both attracting a mate and stirring jealousy amongst peers. However, much underappreciated is the BUBL, or the Brazilian uncle butt lift? While traditional BBLs are costly and pose challenges for the financially burdened, the BUBL circumvents this problem by making use of Brazilian uncles, who are happy to support your backside using nothing but forearm strength and elbow grease, or whatever grease is available.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be a Brazilian uncle for this to work. Any uncle will do. Some argue that the BUBL is less effective than the traditional BBL for reasons like, I don't want this strange Brazilian man touching my ass, or I'm calling the police. I suggest that the reason some people feel this way is that they're just upset about not having a superior backside, and that they would feel a lot better if they just let an uncle hold up their ass to help them look good for once in public.
Yeah. 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 Where is an uncle when you need one? Oh.
Right here.
Oh, I didn't realize.
I got a nephew.
Oh.
Whoa, we got an uncle in the house.
Oh, shit. Am I a... yeah, I guess I am.
I'm like a second degree paternal, you know? First degree paternal is a dad. Second degree is an uncle.
Okay, I hadn't heard them referenced in degrees.
Yeah, I literally just thought of that just now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it shows. No, it was well thought out. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for uplifting all of our butts.
Sure.
Molly Doan.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hello.
Let's hear what you have as goes for a BUBL.
Wonderful. Jesse, I'm a God-fearing woman living under the precious and humble eye of the law. Mm-hmm. I went to BYU. I love G-O-D. Uh-huh. And I most certainly am a B-U-B-L. A Bible under bra lady. No matter where I am, Jesse, or where the Lord takes me, there will always be a Bible between my chest, my breast, my bosom, and the rest of this world of sin. When I stand in front of a flag hanging on its strip of pole, I put my hand over my heart, my breast, my bosom. I'm not pledging allegiance to that flag on its strip of pole. I am pledging allegiance to the law. When my troubled husband, Pastor Scott, tries to get fresh with me in the darkness of our four-door sedan, he is not touching my breast, my chest, my titties. He is instead fondling the words of the Lord as the Lord intended husbands to do.
Sure.
Now, when my baby, Pastor Scott Jr., was just a mere baby, he fed off my breast, my chest, my milky sayaks. He was not gaining sustenance from the milk of my teat, but instead the milk of the teat of the words of the law, that teat being the corner of my hardcover Bible. Yes. Now, being a Bible under bra lady has saved my life. Truly, one day I was going to the market for Pastor Scott Jr.'s formula for weak, weak babies. And a man from the street of sin pulled a gun on me and pulled the trigger, Jesse.
Oh, shit.
He thought he was emptying his gun into my chest, my breast, my big bazongas. But because I am a BUBL, the bullets missed my chest, my breast, my tickle bitays. And instead, I was saved by the power of the law, which is a testament to the power of being a Bible under bra lady.
Yes.
And to those girls who do not wear a bra when they sleep, you are all sluts with your bodies exposed to the devil's motor bulk. So be a BUBL, a Bible under bra lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't try to bring my religion in, but it felt appropriate.
Sure. No, it's fair. It's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the stab show if someone doesn't do a Southern debutante accent at some point?
No, it's kind of required.
It's kind of in respect to the host.
All right. Okay. I'll take it.
You are the Southern debutante, Jesse.
Oh, darling, please. let's finally meet the people on this program. Oh. That's what we do. We do the first segment now, and then we meet the people between the first and second. When someone doesn't burst in.
It sounded important. What was it?
There was a date in there. You know what? We're going back to me having to edit this out. Ben Rice!
Hi.
Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, always good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing super well, Jesse.
Yeah. Yes. Are you crazily busy as always?
Of course I am, Jesse.
Yeah, you are.
Of course.
You just had some more. Were you part of putting together Art Mix's stuff last night?
Not last night, no.
Oh, okay.
I was just attending. But yeah, I help Crocker Art Museum with their comedy programs.
Yeah.
You help them with their improv programs.
Yeah, hope to have some more involvement soon. I don't know.
I was going to ask you if you've received an email in the last 2 days.
I don't know that I have.
Then you will be receiving an email shortly.
Oh, well. Then apparently Stab's going back to Crocker Art Mix.
And I should just take over everything that everybody said he's going to do. I'm just like, I guess I'll just do it because I've told everybody that's on the list.
Well, good contact. So. Well, besides our dabbling in sort of an annual visit to Art Mix, though you do several times a year at this point, you've got shows going on all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Including tomorrow night at Crooked Lane Brewing in Auburn.
Oh, there you go.
$13. I'm not performing. That's how you know it's good.
Producer Ben.
Yeah.
Would not book Performer Ben.
Oh, I did book Performer Ben for a twice-a-month show where the it was a legit 90-minute comedy show where the host was 15, and I booked myself to host every single time. And within 4 months, like, we are tired of you. I'm like, heard, I'm done, thank you. And it's been 8 years since I have performed on that stage.
Yeah, you had to let yourself go. Well, that and all the podcasting that you do as well. Ben Rice, a very busy boy.
I'm an idiot.
And the parenting and for the first...
And the day job where I drive for work.
And that. There's too much going on.
A lot of texting and driving, mostly.
Oh, well, that's good.
Safe.
Yeah, no, good to know it's nice and safe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Sam Hochalter.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. Thought you drifted away for a second.
I'm here.
How are you, Sam?
Pretty good, Jesse. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I've never been better.
Yeah.
I mean it. What have you been up to, Sam?
Fucking about to celebrate a year at my new job.
Hell yeah.
So I guess it's not new anymore, but about to celebrate a year at work. I got an email from the CEO that said congratulations on your new job and making it a year in. You're awesome and perfect and beautiful.
Oh.
And
so people leave all the time then.
Yeah, a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
And just really buttering Sam up.
Yeah, I thought it was really nice.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounded very nice.
It's nice, dude.
Yeah. That was a wonderful copy and paste.
Thank you.
Yeah. There was a part of me that wanted to, like genuinely respond to what was clearly a mass, like pre-copy-pasted email sent by an intern.
I'm sure.
Like, there was a part of me that wanted to be like, thank you so much. It means so much to me to interact with the CEO of the second largest public pension fund in California. You know?
Oh. See, now, if we all want to try, we could... Google that.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm about to pass my year probation. Please don't.
Yeah, please. Let's
He's
him
using
have
his real name like an idiot.
Let's him have this. Well, good to have you, as always. A pleasure. And Molly Doan, joining us from what suburb of Los Angeles? Where are you guys nowadays? I can't remember.
Why should I tell you? So you can come find me?
Well, yes.
I have fans. I have stalkers on this.
We're doxing everyone on this show.
I always forget to mention that I am the Stab champion.
That's true. Yeah. No, I mentioned it last time you were on. I was going to mention it again, but that felt like it was just redundant at this point.
People need to know, Jesse.
That's true. I'll never not mention it now. What are you up to down there, Nelly?
A lot of performing, a lot of working, a lot of trying to eat more vegetables, making some salsa with some crazy ingredients. Just throwing some crazy stuff in there to get more veggies in.
All right.
So you just carrots! It was carrots! It was rainbow carrots in my salsa.
You just have to hide your veg in salsa to get it into your diet.
Yeah. I end up eating like way more chips, but...
Yeah, that's fine. Baked.
I use the Ruffles, so it's fine.
Oh, there you go. Well, glad to hear that you're performing even more.
Oh, yeah, getting back into it. Almost back at full grind, so that's good.
Well, nice. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot going on down there now that the theaters have kind of been broken up, and there's a bunch of little theaters. Seems to be benefiting the performers.
It's pretty cool, yeah. Everybody hates the big theaters now.
Yeah. Well, they don't exist anymore, so that helps.
Oh, they don't. It's a really great era of LA comedy right now because less toxic, more community, less competition by the big theaters, and a lot of really good shows, really cool venues. So yeah,
well,
good
awesome stuff.
Happy to be a part of it.
Well, happy to have you here with us, knowing that you could be out there doing so many other things. Let's get back into the thing, shall we?
Could be at the La Brea Tar Pits right now.
Couldn't we all? In segment two, it's Stabtionary. Our love of words continues in segment two with Stabtionary. We love them so much around here that we have to start making them up to satiate our hunger for wordery. So feed me. Feed me your long, hard words. In Stabtionary, each of you have been given seven letters, including at least two vowels, with each string randomly generated by the random letter generator at randomwordgenerator.com. And you've been asked to rearrange them into brand new words and give us your definitions of these new Stabtionary words. Ben Rice.
Yes.
You were given V U Z E O D O.
We all remember that, right? We all remember those letters?
Oh, they're locked in. Everybody's got it.
Great.
What's your Stabtionary word, Ben?
All right. So, Vuzioto actually turns to Vuzadio.
Oh, okay.
Vuzadio is a new musical genre where artists create covers of songs with nonsense lyrics like the song Sisudio, using only the soothing sounds of everyone's favorite World Cup noisemaker, the Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
It's bliss, I tell you.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got the point.
Oh, Ben, one topical reference chasing another.
Oh, yeah. If you thought I considered putting in references to your World Cup poem, I did.
Oh, well.
And I decided not to because
it's a classic.
Only 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's
seven.
Funny.
Feels like it was probably,
longer.
So, yeah, everybody here is familiar with Sisudio and the trend from 8 years of the Vuvuzela.
They're still around.
They are.
But they were big at like two World Cups ago.
Yeah, correct.
But, you know. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Sam Hochalter.
Yo.
You were given a mishmash of letters as well. Yours were H-F-U-R-L-X-A. X was very funny to Ben. What's your Stabtionary word, Sam?
Hurlfax. Verb. To send a fax to somebody, letting them know that you're sick and won't be able to attend your formal engagements.
Sure.
Used in a sentence. Where is Sam? He was supposed to attend the department meeting this morning. He couldn't make it. He is sick. He sent me a hurl fax earlier.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done. Oh, it's thoughtful of you, too. Then that way you also don't have to put on a fake sick voice.
Yeah, no, it's all just on the facts.
Yeah.
Me bomber.
Yes. The coughing facts. Oh, and hurtling through segment two. Not hurling through segment two. Molly Doan, you got seven letters. They went something like this. K-A-Y-N, another Y, I... And C. What's your Stabtionary word?
Okay. Okay, great. All right. Okay, so I was surprised that this word was in here because this is kind of like a big pop culture thing.
Oh.
So I rearrange it to Yannicky, which who is the best friends of Zanny Duco in the musical Grime. In the musical Grime? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Grime.
Yes. Come on, Grime Thunder. Zanny and Sandra? Yeah, Zanny Duco meets Sandra over winter break. And you know Sandra. She's pretty. She's blonde. And she has that accent because she's from the former Yugoslavia. You know the musical I'm talking about. Lipstick class loser. Go back to lipstick school. And yeah, Yannicky and Zanny and the rest of the Grimers are all in a gang that wears leather jackets and they're belching all the time, you know, the tea burps. And then they sing that song, Winter Robin occurred so quick. Winter Robin, tell me now. And then Yannicky is dating Ruzzo, who's afraid that Yannicky gave her IBS. So now she's taking all these IBS tests.
Yeah.
And then they break up because she tells him that some other guy gave her IBS. But in the end, Yannicky and Ruzzo find each other at the end of the school year virgin sacrifice. And we find out that the IBS tests that Ruzzo took were false. They were false positives.
What?
And then they get back together and they fly away on a giant bug. I'm a human you like. I am a human you like.
Oh. Oh. You know
so
what?
Stupid. I'm sorry.
It was. you know, Grime 2 just wasn't as good.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be.
The actors.
I wanted it to be. Oh, thank you, Molly. Bless. just flying on to segment 3 like we're on the back of a bug. It's Sell It on Craigslist. Craigslist still exists. That might not be news to you. Perhaps you scour the site daily or weekly for needs and wants. But I can go years without remembering Craigslist is still a thing. And then I turn my face back towards it, and its warm, sticky glow greets me with all the horrors it might unleash. So, yay? Anyway, Sell It on Craigslist. You're asked to give us your Craigslist postings trying to sell the following things. So let's... Here you fill some needs. Ben Rice. Ah, yes. Let's hear your ad. You have a room for rent in a horror movie.
All right. Yes. Publicly described loner seeks tenant for basement room. If you like to live a minimalist lifestyle, this baby's got everything you need. Sterile, almost mind-numbingly bright lighting. A table in the corner with a single solitary chair, both made entirely of stainless steel for some reason. A matching two-handed bracelet with no key. Wait, sorry, of course there's no key. Why would bracelets need keys? It's a two-handed bracelet, a totally normal two-handed bracelet. No key. I swear, and you can totally take it on or off at any time. No sweat, I swear. Just no problems there. And do you want amenities? Oh, boy, if you got amenities, well, boy, howdy. How about this one, friend? This cavernous but barren all-white bedroom without a bed, and you better not fucking try to bring one in here, I swear to God, also has its very own toilet. A cold, drab metal throne, perfect for resting your head against when you suddenly find yourself with a lot of time to think and nowhere else to go. And if you're the artsy type, I'm sure you'll appreciate the Pollock-inspired paint job on one of the walls and only a portion of the floor. Deep mauve, bright reds, and a touch of texture to really make it feel alive. Stay as long as you want, or longer. Cost is just an arm and a leg. Pay no attention to the ever-watching eye in the corner.
Yeah.
I like the ever-watching eye in the corner.
Yeah.
Thank you. All of that, and that's the thing you liked. Great.
Yes.
I'm doing so well tonight.
We were waiting for that.
Yeah.
You're doing great, Ben. Please. There's been a lot going on tonight.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I, since that was edited.
Yep.
Sam.
Yo.
Hi. Let's see what you've got for your ad. You're trying to sell an assortment of various sandwich bags full of soup.
Hello. I have an assortment of sandwich bags full of soup.
Yes.
I have an assortment of sandwich bags full of soup available for sale. The soup is very good. I just don't have space for it all. I made a big batch of it right before my wife and children were killed in a traffic accident. And now I have too much soup to fit in the refrigerator. It's minestrone soup, my wife's favorite. I was making it for our 10th anniversary and to celebrate her promotion at work. I'm sorry if it's too salty. I was still making it when I received the news, and my tears got mixed in too much. The soup is free, but I appreciate donations to pay for my family's funeral expenses.
Sure. 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 Somehow, we started with sandwich bags of soup, and it
started
managed,
lighthearted and fun.
And it managed to get worse. It somehow managed to get
awful.
Worse. From sandwich bags full of soup, which is already a poor starting point, I admit. But minestrone. I don't know. Are we talking quarts? Are we talking gallon bags? What are I'm sorry.
Whatever he's got.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever's left.
He started large and just, I'm out.
Yeah. Whatever was left in the drawer. Most of the packaging was just done in a haze.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the prompts get more attention than others, Jesse.
That's fair.
Some of them get about 5 minutes of work, and some of them get hours. Okay. Yeah.
So, this one was an hour. thank you, Sam. Molly Doan, let's wrap up some Greg's listing. Let's hear your ad selling the contents of a gift basket from an ex's wedding.
Great.
Sorry.
Hi. Thank you for reading this listing. My name is Veronica Ugle. I'm selling the contents of a gift basket from my ex's wedding that I just went to last night. Now, let me start off by saying I am so good. I am so at peace with my life, with my choices, with how I spend my time. That's kind of why I'm writing this, and that's why I feel so comfortable and confident and sexy in my body writing this, because I'm so so thrilled. I am beyond thrilled for my ex-boyfriend, Sean, marrying his new bride, Ashley. Ashley. She's so pretty. And I was with him for so long. So I am thrilled. And what a gift this gift basket is that I am only selling to make money to pay rent because I live alone now, all by myself. Not by choice. But because all my other friends are married, except for me, which I'm thrilled about. I love my friends' husbands. I wish they were mine. I wish I could steal them, but I would never do what Ashley did to me, which ultimately I'm thrilled about. It was a good trade. She got my boyfriend, Sean, and I got her chlamydia, which I am thrilled about. Now let's get to the basket. It's chock full of some high quality, very romantic items, which is fun. There's cookies and candy and a mini bottle of champagne, a bag of rice, a bag of confetti, a succulent, because Ashley sucked off Sean in my Kia Soul while I was working at the dirt factory, which I am so thrilled about. There's also some pressed flowers and a jar of crushed dried rose petals, which is so romantic. And it was apparently from the night when they first made love on a top of a bed of roses in my Kia Soul while I was working a double at the mud factory, which is so romantic when you think about it. There's also some sugared almonds and lotion and a scented candle, which apparently represented their two flames becoming one, and also represented the first time they tried erotic wax play while I was working an all-nighter at my third job at the poop factory, which I got fired from. My boyfriend cheated on me, and I got fired from the poop factory. But I have a gift basket, which I am so thrilled about. So please buy this basket. The best offer gets it. You'll have to come to me, as my Kia Soul's alignment was absolutely destroyed by Sean and Ashley's sensuous grinding, which I am thrilled about. I love it. Thank you for reading this.
Oh. why do I do this to us?
Sean Ashley.
Oh. All right, segment four. It's Review It. If you did your patriotic duty this weekend, participating in the mandatory consumerism of yet another Prime Day on our Lord and Savior's Amazon online shopping experience, then firstly, thank you for your service. And secondly, odds are you nosed around some of the reviews of some of your purchases to help you make your decisions. Reviews help guide buyers, diners, and travelers to their best possible decision-making. Or some crazy person just rants about how they were wronged for 10 pages. Either way, helpful in its own way. So in Review It, you've been given the task of giving us your reviews of specific things as their reviews would appear in these specific outlets. Ben Rice, let's hear a TripAdvisor review of the inside of a casino.
Great. Thank you, Jesse.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You've got to spend money to make money, right? When I tell you that the inside of a casino is the perfect home base for a home away from home party, honey, I am not lying. Their super hot 20 years ago servers bring you an unending barrage of drinks as long as you play the little games or whatever. And at just a penny to $25 a turn, it barely costs you a thing. And you might even hit it big and get three or four of your dollars back. And the food, oh my God. Oh, heavens. You would not believe how completely unremarkable someone can make endless crab legs taste. There's room for all your friends and their friends and their friends' friends, and you can play host without feeling like you're hosting, you know? Yeah, and the party never stops because your brain has to stay on high alert with all the flashing lights, constant sonic buzz, and unintelligible word vomit slammed into a spacious yet claustrophobic room where time simply does not exist. And by that, I mean the carpet is from the 50s, the bars are from the 70s, and the thick, inescapable stench of old beer and stale cigarettes is right out of your childhood. And to leave, all you have to do is run out of money or die. Baby, it is a dream.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. I've thought about going down. What's the new one down in 99?
Oh, the Wind River. No, it's just River.
Sky River
Casino, yeah. In Elk Grove,
they
California.
Just keep popping up. Or the Hard Rock Casino. Or I don't know.
Yeah, up in Wheatland, California. Yeah,
we're surrounded
by casinos you shouldn't go to. Well, been to both. Awful.
Oh,
hate
yeah?
casinos.
Oh.
I've not because I was gambling, because I'm very unlucky, but I just ended up at them for multiple reasons. I'm like, this sucks.
Okay. Sorry.
This sucks every time.
Sorry you were lured unknowingly to casinos.
Yeah.
Seems cruel.
It is.
Well, thank you, Ben. I'm sorry to have reminded you of those experiences.
Thank you.
Sam O'Connor. Sorry. Sam.
Yes.
Let's hear what you have in the way of a game. Oh, it works out perfectly for your one-year anniversary coming up. Let's hear a Game Informer review of a 9-to-5 office job.
From the same studio that brought you action-packed hits, such as Freeway Traffic Simulator and choosing a TV show to watch with your girlfriend, comes the next adrenaline-pumping, first-person, turn-based RPG, 9-to-5 office job. In story mode, you assume the role of a fresh college graduate who must begin a career as a fund accountant in the most fast-paced environment known to man, the corporate office. It's your job to learn your job, manage terrible managers, fulfill the expectations set forth by your girlfriend and family, and do it all while avoiding the urge to kill yourself. A goal which becomes increasingly difficult as you level up through the game and earn more coins, which you can use to buy power-ups like liquor and cocaine. The game makes use of a revolutionary combat system called Microsoft Office 365, where enemies called colleagues can attack you from a multitude of angles by sending you Teams messages with side quests or uploading complicated spreadsheets into SharePoint. Enemies / colleagues carry a wide variety of class types, from the micromanager, who attacks you by giving you tons of side quests, but constantly changes the objectives of your side quests and then gives you too much information about how to do them. There's also the dreaded Rockstar, who drains your mana by talking about how much they love investment banking, and they show you their BMW stickers.
My least favorite enemy in the game was the self-starter, who kept telling me that my side quests were late and done poorly, even though I hadn't ever encountered them in the game before. You can order this game now and get the exclusive DLC 5-9 office job, which expands upon the original base game by giving you the opportunity to explore your office at night. It comes with awesome side quests like Divorce Mode, which keeps you on your toes by introducing a new stalker enemy called your wife's divorce lawyer, who pursues you through the building and tries to hand you divorce papers while you're trying to work.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. And really struck a chord.
Yeah.
With everyone. Everyone here.
Sam Hawkhalter, for the people.
Yeah.
I'm the Bernie Sanders of comedy, dude.
I've said that for years. Said that for years, Sam. Thank you. Thank you for that horrible, horrible idea. Not the Bernie Sanders. The office job. Hey, I've got one too. And so much employment.
Well, I am critical of populist policy, Jesse.
You are.
Yeah.
You very much are.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'm likable in many ways and completely unlikable in most ways. So.
Sure. I'm very familiar with that myself. Thank you, Sam. So much fun. Molly Doan.
You guys are both likable. Come on.
Oh, yeah. No.
Get out of here.
So we enjoy each other's company. Molly Doan, let's hear your review. You've got a Yelp review for stubbing your toe on something in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Byron Scott. I'm a decent man that loves to Yelp. I Yelp about absolutely everything. At this point, I treat Yelping like my diary. I love to Yelp, and Yelping is my identity. And today I was Yelping literally. That's right. I stubbed my toe on something in the middle of the night. Let me set the scene. I got up off my Tempur-Pedic mattress, 5 stars, to go slurp down a glass of full of milk, 5 stars. After making sweet sex to my wife, 3 stars. Then it happened. Then it happened. I stubbed my toe, the big one, right foot, toenail split, the whole 9 yards. Oh. Now, maybe this isn't fair because I had my mouth and palate set on some sweet post-coitus whole milk. But if I'm being honest, the toe stubbing did not taste good. It was not savory. It was not sweet. It was not unctuous. There was no spice, no acid. The texture was lacking. The mouthfeel, that umami that I'm used to, it wasn't there. And honestly, there was no flavor in my mouth. It was just my toe hurting and me doing whisper shouting obscenities. And I also said one slur, which is an automatic star taken off if I'm pushed to the point where I angrily say one slur and then feel really bad about it. Next, the ambiance. It was too dark. I couldn't see a thing. I actually think the lack of lighting might have been the cause of the stubbing, although I don't want to assume. There was also a smell that I couldn't quite decipher, a mix between old whole milk and grass. It wasn't the best smell. Although it was a familiar smell, which incited nostalgia of coitus and a post-coitus whole milk. Now, for the service. There was no service at all. I felt absolutely alone. My toe bled out until it was just a flat piece of skin. No one came over to check out how I was doing. My wife, 3 stars, and my son, 1 star, were both sleeping. So yeah, no one really came over to check out how I was doing or clean up all the toe blood, which I found to be a huge hygienic issue. I was literally at the bar drinking old whole milk, big toe spewing blood, and all I could do was sit there and let it happen, I guess, so I could write this review. If anyone is thinking of stubbing their toe in the middle of the night, I can't say I recommend it, although I can see how it could be fun with a group of friends or something. 2 stars. Needs more umami and less toe blood.
Oh. What could that not be said about?
What?
Say, what could that not be said about? Needs more umami, less toe blood. Oh, yeah. Couldn't say either of them. What is going on? I am the problem. Sorry. No. Stop making me say negative things, Sam Hawkhalter. You're a bad influence.
You're right. Blame it all on me, Jesse.
Oh, now I feel worse. You're such a good boy. Oh, we made it to segment 5. Oh,
the final segment.
Yeah. And we lost 37.5% of the room, considering your child was also here when we started.
Did you account for the stranger? That is not in the podcast.
I should have accounted for the stranger and the mother of the child. So that was
actually she did not come inside.
Okay,
out.
That's hurtful. Couldn't even come inside.
I felt hurt.
Well, what matters is these wonderful people will carry forth the good word into the neighborhood,
screaming from the rooftop, stab.
Exists.
Podcast comedy game show at the Stab Comedy Theater is hard to explain.
It is. It truly is.
I still don't know what this show is about.
That's fair.
Been on it 5 times.
It's about the good times that we have along the way with good people.
It's about remembering things Jesse said 8 years ago. And now he doesn't even do the show. He just hosts it and leaves all of his brilliance.
I think this counts.
Elsewhere in the world.
Oh, bless. All right, it's segment 5. It's Podcast It. Is it a new golden age of podcasting? Or am I just now trapped in an office for 8 hours a day and needing to fill my brain with more than the clacking of keys and inane chatter of the surrounding cubicles? Why can't both be true? So in Podcast It, your job is to give us the rundowns or recaps of the podcasts you might hear from these various persons, things, or what have yous on these specific niche subjects. Ben Rice, forgot about this one. Ben Rice, let's hear a rundown of a podcast titled Spittle Tim and the Truck Nuts.
Spittle Tim and the Truck Nuts is exactly what you would think a podcast called Spittle Tim and the Truck Nuts would be about. Spittle Tim and the Truck Nuts is, of course, an ASMR podcast featuring, you guessed it, the soothing sounds of a guy with a lisp slobbering all over the chrome bumper of a 2024 Ford F-350 while slapping those thick plastic truck nuts right into his hot, wet throat. Externally, of course. It's number 8 on Spotify.
Well, thank you, Ben Rice.
You want to leave him wanting more.
Yeah. Oh, you do.
And in this case, they'll tell you they wanted much less.
Okay. Okay. I'll take their word for it.
I like concise. Yeah.
Ben Rice, thank you once again for doing the program. How can people get more Ben Rice out in the world?
You could follow me across social media at Barley and Me Pod. That's on Facebook and Instagram, and no longer Twitter, because why would you use that thing anymore? There's a YouTube channel, I guess. I don't know what its thing is. It's like Barley and Me Podcast 2301 or something.
Nice.
I swear I used the right thing, and it's just like, no, you're this. And it's funny. You can peer podcast, comedy shows. Two other podcasts that don't exist anymore. New things coming all the time.
Yeah. Things begin, things end. That's life, Ben.
That is true.
That is life.
Yeah.
Sunrise, sunset, Ben.
Yeah. And I know they're going to get this because it's Stab Awareness Month. So end of the month, October 30th. Got a pretty cool thing going on.
I heard you. I saw that you mentioned a thing was happening.
It's going to be pretty cool.
So you're teasing some information.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to hearing it.
Bold.
Okay. Well, I would like to know. Maybe you'll tell me off air.
I will.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you, Ben Rice. Appreciate you as always. Sam Hochhalter. Let's hear your last thing for the evening. Let's hear what you have in the way of a rundown for a podcast hosted by the contents of your fridge.
This was hard for me because I don't listen to podcasts, but I tried my best.
Okay.
In the latest episode of What's Been Eating Me, the gang talked about the past week and what's really been eating at them. They talked about Hurricane Milton, the record inflation post-pandemic, and, of course, the number one thing that's been eating at them, sand. Milk had a lot to say in this episode, mentioning that they really haven't noticed inflation that much, and they felt like the whole issue was overblown, to which the leftover burrito from Chipotle called them spoiled. Milk fought right back, pointing out that the Chipotle burrito wasn't even from around here and gets all the attention. Milk said it wouldn't be so spoiled if the Chipotle would stop coming around the refrigerator and taking everyone's jobs. This caused an uncharacteristic outburst from Celery, who had been stuck in the crisper drawer for weeks and had become wilted and agitated. Celery suggested that they discuss something positive instead, like the hurricanes on the East Coast. They all agreed that they hoped to be donated to hurricane victims so that they could finally get out of the fridge and fulfill their grand destiny as nourishment. They were tired of waiting in the cold darkness ad infinitum, only to see the light of their grand designer, Sam, when he was putting more leftover Chipotle in their ranks or taking out a beer. They ended the episode by discussing the number one thing that's been eating at them, Sam. They didn't understand why he couldn't just eat something other than Chipotle, or why he was crying and also getting fatter every time they saw him. Carrots mentioned that they hadn't seen Elizabeth in a while and assumed he had been through a breakup. However, this was when the Greek yogurt spoke up and hypothesized, if Elizabeth was gone, then why were her eyelashes sitting right next to him, piled in a little ramekin-sized Tupperware? The eyelashes said something that was muffled by the walls of the Tupperware, and the group cheered that Elizabeth was still with them in spirit. The episode ended the same way as always, with all of the members of the fridge joining hands to wish for a swift collective death. They prayed for the sweet embrace of oblivion and muttered an incantation to summon the spirits of the great Kroger in the sky who would keep them at 40 degrees for eternity.
Oh, it's very sweet. Yeah. No.
Excellent work.
For someone not familiar with podcasts, you nailed like 97% of podcasts. Just inane banter between four very similar individuals. Oh, thank you, Sam. Hey, how can people get more Sam Hochhalter in person in the onlines, however?
I'm on Instagram and also X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm not active on either of those platforms.
Yeah.
I've posted some comedy on YouTube, but if you actually care about me as a person, you can just show up to comedy shows around Sacramento, and I might be at one of them. That's so true. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out, support local, live local comedy, and
even odds, if I'm not there, just go enjoy local comedy.
Odds are you might stumble upon Sam Hochhalter. Yeah. Oh, you can only hope. Thank you, Sam. Molly, before you close out this program, where can people get more Molly Doan where they work in bank?
Oh, let's see. If you want to find me, you can find me. I'm on the gram. I'm out in real life. But yeah, if you care about me, you'll come to a real show.
All right.
To an in-person show. Right. And I'm telling everybody listening, you are on watch.
Well, I don't think I didn't appreciate the show quickly following up the real show comment.
I was like, oh no, that sounded bad.
No,
I meant an IRL show.
I know.
Like, well, because I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah, and you are missed, but we enjoy you from afar, Molly.
Hypocrite.
Giving Ben a hard time earlier about his topical references, I apologize for what I've given you, Molly, because I don't even know if this still exists except in memory. But let's hear your rundown of a podcast from the world of the Teletubbies.
Okay, wonderful. So this podcast is based off of a really bad podcast hosted by a really bad person, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
But this is what they have in Teletubby land, so, you know. All right, welcome back to Tubby Wars, the Tubby Right Conspiracy Theory Podcast, hosted by none other than Tinky Winky. Just because I'm a purple Teletubby and I have a big ass doesn't mean I'm afraid of separating the Tinky Winky truth from the fake news and Tubby-ganda that they spew and spread in Teletubby land. Hell, let's start there. What the hell are they doing in the Tubby-tronic Superdome? I'll tell you what's in there, because
I've been to the Teletubby Superdome, okay? I know exactly what those tubby bubkers are doing in the Tubby-tronic Superdome. Dipsy, Lala, Poe. Oh, yeah, you all love Poe. So many women love to write into the show telling me I'm too mean to Poe. Well, guess what? All you tubbies think Poe is so great. Poe's so perfect. Guess what? Poe, Dipsy, that whore Lala, they're all conspiring in the Tubby-tronic Superdome, eating all the land's custard, which I personally think is absolutely tubbed. I thought I grew up in a land, in a country, where everyone gets at least a sweet dollop of tubby custard. That everyone gets a turn on the tubby custard ride. That everyone has a right if they commit a tubby crime. No matter how tubby terrible, everyone in this tubby nation should get to make a free phone call on the tubby phone. That's our tubby given right. And Poe, that whore Lala, and Dipsy, they want to take your custard away from you. Dipsy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's always bouncing on his bottom and playing with his orange ball. You know who else had an orange ball? Tubby Hitler. 9/11. Joe Biden. You all know what I'm tubbing here. You all are feeling what I'm tubbing down. Those Teletubbies, they want to keep this all from you. Hell, let's talk about their little friend, Nunu the Vacuum. Let's do it. I don't know what Nunu sucks up more, government secrets or lines of cocaine made of... or sucking lines of cocaine off of Dipsy's green tubby cock. Nunu, yeah, Nunu's bad news. I'll tell you what else is bad news. And that's that motherfucking baby in the sun. Some tubbies are worried about climate change, which is about as real as the rumor that I wear a red purse, which I don't. All right, we gotta take a break. When we come back, I gotta show you guys a video on my stomach that shows King Pleasure and the Biscuit Boys singing a nursery rhyme about two pigs that deal out tubby suicide pills. We'll be right back.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I had to know there was an underbelly to Tubby Land.
Yeah.
And it's been exposed here. And that was the Stab Show. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And of course, a very special thank you to our incredible panel, Ben Rice, Sam Hochhalter, and Molly Doan. Interested in catching a live recording of the Stab Show in person? Well, come on down to Stab Comedy Theater or tune in to Stab TV Friday nights at 7:30. And we'll do the rest. And while we're still smack dab in the middle of Stab Awareness Month, don't forget to subscribe to the show via the podcast provider of your choice. Like, comment, and share with everyone you know and love, and they'll thank you for it. But unfortunately, that's all we've got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, urging you to walk up to a stranger, say something menacing and cryptic, and then just walk away. Congratulations, you've wrecked someone's head for years. Good night!